Welcome to Be Inspired with your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce, bringing you the right information right now to help you transform your mind, get more from life, and overcome adversity so you can enjoy more success. Accomplishments and adversity are two sides of the same coin. You have to overcome the adversity in order to see the results of the accomplishments. It's not just motivation, it's inspiration. If you want to be on the winning side of the coin, you'll want to tune in to the next hour. Now, here are your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce.
Hey, 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 welcome to Be Inspired today. I am your co-host, Stephen Pierce, and I am flying solo again. No wingman. Dr. Dindley is out, obviously, I believe, handling some personal family matters. And we're going to handle some of your matters, your success matters. In fact, today we're going to talk about a few things that that relate to your success. I want to start off with, and we'll see if we have enough time to get through all of this. I don't want to rush it because I want to make sure that you get it. But I'm going to first start off talking about what I call the seven success factors, which basically just challenges your perspective. And they were challenging to my perspective. Like, we always have these different perspectives of life and our situations and what's going on. Our different models of the world and how we expect things to be and how things should be versus how they are. And well, guess what? It is what it is. But the thing that we can control is our perspective, right? We can't necessarily control a lot of the things that are going on outside of us, but we can control our perspective. So what I want to do is I want to challenge some of your perspectives by going over first the seven success factors. Factor number one is that success is not about having less stress. It's about having more peace. Now, what do I mean by that? That means we talk about the stuff, oh, this stuff is stressing me out. Well, stuff doesn't stress us out. We decide to allow stuff to weigh on us and stress us out. And the interesting thing is that we look to try to control the stressors as opposed to trying to control the peace, right? It's like trying to control a storm outside. Right. Like the unfortunate storms that hit over in Houston and then over into Florida. No one can control the storms, but you can control your place of peace. Right. You don't have to allow the storms that are raging on the outside of you to become raging storms on the inside of you. So if we start to find out how we can be more peaceful in our current environments, the environments that we're moving towards, then what we're actually doing is we're building up this kind of like this bulletproof emotional fitness level that regardless of the weight that's that comes on us, we're able to resist getting stressed because we know how to go into a place of peace that we can control. Things that people want to throw at us, stuff that may come up as a surprise, changes in the environment that could have been expected or unexpected. They can stress us. They can shock us. They can jolt us. And even if that happens for a moment, if you know how to get to a place of peace, you'll quickly be able to go into the place where you're able to have a clearer head of thinking and be able to have more emotional control and then start to think and respond to situations as opposed to emotionally reacting. And that's what tends to happen when we're not in the place of where we're not really emotionally fit and we have emotional control. We tend to react emotionally to things that are going on, things that make us afraid, things that threaten us, things that shock us, things that disappoint us, that scare us, all these different things are, you know, things that may intimidate us, things that people may say or that people may do. You know, we can get really emotional, and there's nothing wrong with having emotion. But what we want to do is have enough emotional control where we can have a bridge, that space to think and then respond as opposed to feel and react. Because think about how many times, and this happened to me, you know, throughout my life, where we react in such a way so quickly emotionally without thought that we regret what our response was, right? And now we have to clean up the emotional mess that we made because of the level of emotional intensity in how we responded. Because what we did is we were feeling and reacting as opposed to thinking and responding. So that's important when I'm talking about, you know, success is not about having less stress. It's about having more peace, because the part about having peace is about being able to control your own emotions in environments that will try to create stressors. And it's not like you won't feel a certain amount of stress, but when you feel it, you're conditioning yourself to the point where you know how, hey, listen, I get this feeling. I know this feeling. I understand this feeling. This feeling is not going to serve me. So I need to go into a place of peace. But how do you develop that place of peace? Well, the solution is begin to start to meditate. Because if you haven't meditated for a while or at all, it becomes an initial challenge to be able to just witness your thoughts going by as opposed to getting into a battle with your thoughts, right? And trying to analyze every thought that's going through your mind and chasing the thoughts that are going through your mind. Being able to have a single point of focus, like maybe you have a candle in the distance, or maybe there's a spot on the wall, or maybe you envision a dot on your forehead, or maybe you're just focusing on the breathing, the inhaling and the exhaling, but you're able to just control your emotions and you're focusing on one particular thing. And while all these, what seems like gazillions of thoughts and ideas, oh, I forgot to do this. Did you do that? What about all these different things come? You don't react to them. And the more you do that, the more you start to become conditioned to be able to relax. And relaxation is critical. Think about a sniper in a high intensity situation. One shot, one kill is all he really gets. One thing that they teach is breath control. And I think I mentioned that on a previous episode, breath control. Because if you're able to control your breath, you can immediately control the stress. Right. And then because what happens is when we start to get stressed and we start to get aggravated, we can start to hyperventilate and our heart rate starts to increase and our breathing starts to get shallow. And then we start to cut off oxygen to our brain. Right. You're still breathing. You have enough oxygen to live, but you may not necessarily have enough oxygen circulating to be able to think and function properly. Right. And then it can also begin to shut down your nervous system. It's like an athlete. If the athlete allows the stressor of a moment, the intensity of the moment, and everything is riding on this at bat or this pass or this kickoff or this at bat. And they really just allow that to weigh on them and it begins to stress them, regardless of how athletic they are, regardless of how skilled they are, regardless of how talented they are, it's going to start to hit the brakes and they're not going to be able to perform at their best level because now they're really tight. Now they're really tense and not really relaxed, being able to just flow and do what it is they know to do. So being able to be at peace, regardless of what your field is, or what it is you're doing, because regardless of what you choose to do, hey, listen, you want to have opportunities to stress big time. All of us do. But just because the opportunity presents itself for us to stress out and bug out and flip out doesn't mean we have to take that opportunity. We can equally take that opportunity to enforce our own will of a better, higher emotional choice to go at peace. We're not ignoring the events that want us to stress, but we know that we can have a better response and better handle them if we come from a place of calmness, of greater serenity. Now, listen, it's not that you're not aware, but you have a greater degree of effectiveness if you can come from that place of peace. So to build that up, you want to start practicing meditation. Now, there's other things you can do for sure, but meditation for certain is one of the ones that you want to be doing. Now, success factor number two. Success is not about having less bills. It's about having more money. See, people think they got a bill problem. Nah, man, you got an income cash flow problem. See, everybody got bills, but not everybody got bills problem. See, think about the real estate investor that gets hit every month with a $10 million mortgage, right? $10 million that they have to pay to the bank every single month. Now, you could be like, dude, that's a problem. Not if that $10 million is bringing in $15 million in gross cash flow from the property, netting a $5 million a month positive cash flow. See, that's what you call good debt. That is monetizing debt. Most people don't monetize debt, right? They become buried under the debt because there's a such thing as good debt and bad debt. But listen, you're going to always have bills. Hey, even if you quote unquote own your real estate, you're going to get hit with the property taxes, right? And listen, there's no escape in having a bill. You know, hey, maybe you can escape the water bill if you got a well on your property, but then they may want to tax that. Or maybe you're really big with solar, so you got your own electricity thing going on, but they may try to tax it. Hey, you never know. But you still got to get some groceries, right? Or maybe you're growing your own food, you know, you're just going straight off the grid. Right. But listen, there's going to be bills. So it's not a bill problem. Right? It's like, oh, these bills, the electric bill, the water bill, the cable bill, the cell phone bill, the school bills, the tax bill, the property association bills and all. Hey, listen, hey, wake up. We all have those things. But who says it's a problem? The only reason a person says they have a bill problem is because they're weighing their bills against their income and the bill stack is bigger than the C note stack. The C note being the $100 bill stack. It's bigger than the income stack. So it's not really a bill problem. It's an income problem. It is a revenue problem. It is a cash flow issue. See, you can reduce your debt to nothing. That's called homelessness, right? But now you got another problem. Right? You have another problem. Like even in business, a company can only trim their costs so much. At some point in time, for a company to excel and succeed, see, they can trick the books without increasing their income. They can improve profitability by cutting costs, but you can only cut costs so much before you start to see, you know, how they say, you know, the when the tide goes out, you see who's swimming with no clothes. At some point in time, you start to realize the company is not generating any revenue, right? You know, you're looking profitable because you're just cutting back on all kinds of different things. So, yeah, I get it. Listen, we don't want to have frivolous bills. I mean, no one wants to be paying what's called the dumb tax. You know, you got credit cards and you're putting silly stuff on your credit cards that you shouldn't be putting on your credit cards. Right. Debt can be good and it can be bad. You can use your credit cards to make investments where you at least have an opportunity to get a positive ROI. You know, you want to get a new car. Why go buy the newest car when you're going to lose 20-25% of its value once it goes off the lot? Why not get a certified previously owned car of that same year, which has already experienced that depreciation? Right. Same thing. Probably has a few hundred miles on it. Certified pre-owned, something like that. But the whole thing is we create all of this debt and all these bills because that's fun, shopping, using credit cards, purchasing stuff. But hey, listen, we got to start burning it from the other end, too. We have to make sure that we are increasing our income. And that's the solution. If you're looking to not necessarily get rid of your bills, but you're looking to take care of those, it's about having more money. It's about increasing your income. But how do you increase your income? Right. See, people say, hey, go get another job. Go do this. Go do that. You know, all of those are means. But the primary way that you increase your income is to create more value. That's it. Because money flows where there's value. Money does not respond to tears. It does not respond to pain. It does not respond to begging and pleading. Money responds to value. Right. If you want to create wealth, create value. If you want to make more money, become more valuable. That's how the deal works, right? See the secretary, she's not less valued as a person, but her position is not going to allow her to get paid what the CEO gets paid, right? Because her position is not that valuable, right? Right. The pediatrician is valuable for what they do, but they don't get the pay of the brain surgeon because of what the brain surgeon does, the value that they provide. Right. So it's like, look, if you don't like your income level, don't argue. Look at how much value you're providing and then ask yourself, how can I become more valuable to the marketplace? Right. Because the moment you start to become more valuable, guess what's going to start happening? You're going to start to make more money. And that's how it works. Why are people, you know, dumping $1,000 or more or a little bit less, depending on the deals you're getting for a Note 8? And then they're going to drop, you know, maybe $1,000 or a little bit more later this year on some iPhone Xs. Look, those are expensive. Hey, people are going to be telling you how expensive it is while they're buying it. Whether they're buying it on the pay plan or they're dropping their cash on it for the retail price or for a deal. But because they find it to be valuable for what it is they do. Hey, they want the best phone at the best price for their own reasons. And everybody's going to determine what they consider to be the best phone at the best price. But regardless of the phone, if it's one of those high-end phones, it's going to be somewhere close to the four digits, somewhere up in there, somewhere in that 700 to 1,000 range, depending on the deal you get. But why do they do that? Because they find that to be more valuable than dropping $50 on another phone or dropping $20 on a prepaid throwaway phone, one of those, what they call a burner phone, right? So listen. And regardless of what's going on in the economy, it's not that if you're in sales, it's not that people don't have any money. It's just that people don't feel as if what you have is more valuable than the money that they're holding. The moment a person feels that what you're holding is more valuable than the money they're holding, the transaction takes place. Right. So you want to have more income in your life. You want to have more revenue, become more valuable. That may mean providing extra valuable services in the form of your own business, your own side hustle, as it's called, or adding additional services to an existing business, or elevating the existing services and improving on them, right? Because we know people want things. There's two things. I'm going to give you real quick, and then we're going to go to break. That value revolves around increasing and decreasing. People want to increase something, right? Like they want to increase their income. They want to increase their energy. They want to increase their sex appeal, or they want to decrease something. They want to decrease negative feelings. They want to decrease their weight. They want to decrease. So if you always think, hey, what can I provide that's valuable, that's going to help people to increase something they want more of or decrease something they want less of, you're going to be on the track to start identifying how you specifically can take what it is you currently have to provide value to some group of people somewhere that will help you to start to increase your income. And you'll start to realize when that income starts to increase, you'll be like, hey, man, I never had a bill problem. Dude was right. It was an income problem. And we come back. We're going to keep going through the seven success factors. Hey, listen, I got the seven barriers to success and I got the five keys to success, but I don't have all day. So we're not going to go through all of those today. I think we're just going to finish with the seven success factors. And we're going to get to number three when we come back after this break. So stay tuned. Keep taking your notes and I'll see you right back here in a minute or two.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What is the real social impact that those in the entertainment industry are making? Indie Vision Radio with host Scott C. Brown, the founder of the Indie Vision Project and Maxit Magazine, is a personal conversation about their work in the industry and the impact they're having on humanity. From world health to world peace, you're given a true behind-the-scenes look at what those working in the indie realm are doing to make a positive influence on the world. On the Influencers Channel, tune in to Indie Vision Radio, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America.
It's time to elevate yourself and your business to the next level. What are the secrets of business success? Discover them on Key Entrepreneurs of Influence with your host, Kieran Sweeney. Find out who the business owners are that stand out in their respective industries and what they can teach you. The program contains valuable advice that can cost thousands through a professional consultant. Key Entrepreneurs of Influence can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Hey, welcome back. Glad to know that you're still here. At least I'm going to assume that you're still here. Hey, listen, before we went to the break, we went over two of the seven success factors. The first one was success is not about having less stress. It's about having more peace. And the solution to building that peace is meditation, at least one of the solutions, right? The second one we talked about was success is not about having less bills. It's about having more money, right? It's about increasing your income, not trying to take all the debt to zero because there's the cost of living, right? Everybody has the cost of living, right? No debt. Hey, that's for the dead, right? And hey, even in death, there's burial fees. I mean, listen, you're paying for stuff all day, every day. So let's talk about number three. Number three is success is not about doing less ourselves. It's about giving more of ourselves. Now, that's a good one. Because many people have these visions of grandeur, being on the beach, sipping on fancy drinks with umbrellas spinning. Hey, listen, man, people that understand success know that's just a break. That's not the lifestyle, right? You may be sold that, but it's about loving what it is you're doing. The solution, by the way, is commitment. It's about committing to something that's bigger than you, something that's bigger than your life. Right. It's about committing to something that you will get up early for, you'll stay up late for, that you'll lay down your life for, something that drives you, that pushes you through all fears, that has you to. It becomes an obsession. And I'm talking about a healthy obsession. I'm not talking about a stalking obsession like, yeah, I know who I have an obsession and her name is. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something where you are contributing to something that is making a difference to some group of people somewhere, or the environment, or whatever it is that is meaningful to you. And your means of getting there may be an existing business, but the business is just, it's just an avenue that's going to allow you to generate the revenue for you to do the philanthropy or whatever the deal is that you're looking to do. But success is not about doing less ourselves. I know that's a good sales pitch. Hey, how to make a million on an hour a day, right? I mean, come on. You know, it sounds good, but it takes work to make millions of dollars. I know that. I've generated over $20 million for myself in my businesses. So I know, and it ain't done in an hour a day, right? In fact, you'd be looking for how can I get an extra hour in a day, right? So, but understanding that, hey, how can I give more of myself? And when you're looking at giving more of yourself, you're also looking at how do you improve yourself? Because you are a deposit into every environment that you walk into. The quality of your life, the quality of your of how you live is going to determine the level of impact you're going to have in an environment. Hey, you can walk into a quality environment, but because you're not taking care of yourself, you bring down the environment. Hey, you may have very low standards and you walk into an environment that has very high standards and now there's friction, right? Because what happens is you'll get people together. They may have a common goal, but they don't have shared values, right? They don't have shared values. They both want to be successful in business, but one values money over people and one values people over money. So they're not necessarily going to operate that well together, right? So when you're looking at, you know that you are a deposit, right? You know that you are giving of yourself and you are highly aware of that, you're going to start paying attention to the quality of your own life, the quality of your interactions, the quality of your learning, the quality of your skills, because you know everything about you and every environment you walk into is a deposit. So there's a double commitment. There's a commitment to whatever it is you're a part of, and then there's the commitment to making yourself the best that you can possibly be. Now that brings us to success factor number four. Success is not about being better than them. Is about being better than I was yesterday. See, we go through life comparing ourselves to other people. Listen, our Creator did not set one other man or woman up that's a peer, as a ruler or a yardstick that we're supposed to be measuring our life against, for good or bad, right? Because you can always find someone that's doing worse than you and you feel superior, and you can find someone that's doing better than you and you can start to shrink and feel inferior. Both of them are incorrect. Right? They're not the right way. And it does an injustice to you and it does an injustice to them. Right? Because, hey, listen, let's just say you're in a race, right? And let's just say you race, let's say it's a 100-yard dash, and you didn't cross the finish line first. So you didn't win the race. But you looked at your time and you ran your personal best time. Depending on what you focus on, it's going to determine what your experience ultimately is. Because you can look at the fact, man, you know what? I didn't come in first place. And that can make you feel a certain way. Or you can look at the fact that, you know what? I just ran my personal best. Hey, listen, the person that may have crossed the finish line before you didn't run their personal best. They didn't outshine you in that moment if you want to compare. By the rules of the event, they crossed the finish line first and they won the rules of the event, but they did not win in personal performance. They didn't run their personal best. You just ran your personal best. See, the whole idea here, the solution is focusing on continued personal progress, right? Because at the end of the day, we all want to be making progress. We want to, that helps us to realize that we are alive, that we're making progress. And I think I used this or said this before. It's like having a garden. You know, my wife and I, we have gardens here. And, you know, we put the seeds in the ground because we grow stuff from seeds. And you start to see the seedling come up through the ground. Progress. And you're happy. You can't harvest anything from it yet, but you're just excited about the progress. Then you start to see the flowers and then you see the aphids and the bugs. And then you have to deal with those because you don't want the aphids killing the plants because the plants are for you. But you look at the progress. You see the flowers. You see the bees pollinating. Then all of a sudden you start to see the fruits and vegetables start to show their face. And you're excited because you're seeing progress. So one of the important things about continued personal progress is understanding the progress you're making every single day. What we tend to do, for the most part, not everybody, but virtually everybody, we're so busy looking at what other people are doing, we ignore our own progress. And because we ignore it, we don't see it. And since we don't see it, we're not experiencing it. And since we're not experiencing it, we don't think we're growing. We don't think we're progressing. Right. And you also want to be patient. Hey, listen, if you're trying to lose 100 pounds, you've only been in the gym for a week. Hey, don't expect to be down 25 pounds. Right. Look at the progress you made. The fact that you went to the gym consistently that week is progress because you didn't go the previous week. Right. And that's being kind to yourself. We can use other people's lives and other people's progress as a battering ram on our own life because we'll look at what they're doing and compare ourselves to it. And if we don't feel as if we're doing better or equally as well as them, we start to beat ourselves up. And that's not fair to them. And it's not fair to you because we all grow and learn and expand and progress differently. And all the progress is to be honored and to be appreciated, regardless of the speed and regardless of the breadth of it, regardless of the depth of it. If it's progress, it's something to be recognized and it's something to be honored. So do yourself a favor and look at how you're progressing every single day. And remember, number three was success is not about doing less ourselves. It's about giving more of ourselves. And it's that commitment. So commit every day to being better today than you were yesterday. It doesn't have to be a something better by a quantum leap. It can be something marginally better. But as long as it's better, if it's better than it was yesterday, right? Like, hey, let's just say you're at the gym and you run and maybe you run at 7.5 and you were able to go to 7.6 or maybe you were able to go to 8.5 or maybe it's an incline and you took the incline from 5 to 7 or 7 to 10 or whatever the progress is, right? Or maybe you took in 100 less calories today or you went X amount of hours long without eating during your intermittent fasting. Whatever the progress is, you want to recognize it and honor it. Don't wait for somebody else to come and cheerlead you on and honor that for you. Don't do that. That is for you to recognize and for you to celebrate. All right. Hey, you can have the party of one because it's your progress. And that's going to encourage you. And you're going to start saying, hey, you know what? I can't do this, man. I'm not doing too bad. I'm okay here. Right. And your personal progress is important because that helps you to know that you're alive, that you're living, that your life isn't stale, that you're not dying, that you're not in a rut, that you're not standing still, that your life is not moving backwards, that you're not losing in life. But all the progress is not going to show up like fireworks in the sky, right? It's not going to be something dramatic all the time. There could be an inflection point where something huge happens, but we want to recognize all of those small things. Like if you were growing a garden and it was at your house, you would see all of the daily incremental progress in everything you did from watering it and side dressing it and whatever it is you're doing to take care of your garden, weeding if you're doing that, tilling if you're doing tilling or no non-tilling, whatever your deal is with your garden, you're going to see the progress. However, if somebody came and visited your house the day you were planting the seeds and then they came back, say, 3 months later, they would see huge watermelons. They would see tomatoes if you haven't taken them all off or you know, the continued harvest of tomatoes and lettuces and cucumbers. What they would see is a full harvest. For them, it would look like the farmer's market, like just happened. But when they were there the first time, it was just soil and seeds. but you saw the incremental progress because you were paying attention to your garden. They weren't there to pay attention. They saw it when it was soil and seeds and came back, and it was a market, right? They can go and get the pickings. But you saw the progress because you're paying attention. So with yourself, you want to make sure that you are paying attention. Number five of our seven success factors. Success is not about how good you are. It's about how good you want to be. See, sometimes we can get caught up in how good we are, right? We're good at certain things. But can we get better? Or is it time to shift because technology is changing, the economy is changing, politics are changing, the environment is changing, all kinds of different things are changing, and what you may be currently good at may actually be obsolete tomorrow. It may go by the way of the quote-unquote dinosaur, right? Go extinct and it's no longer valid. Hey, listen, if you are a master of weighing computers today, are you employable? Think about that. Hey, I know everything about a Wayne computer. Now, some of you are probably like, what is a Wayne computer? Wayne computers is like, it's a throwback to way back. Wayne computers was before breakdancing. That lets you know how far back that was. And breakdancing was like the 80s or something like that. It goes way back. Wayne computers, right? Hey, maybe you can fly a Pan American airline like no other pilot can. But there ain't no Pan American Airlines, right? Gone. So you have to evolve your skills. All these different things are changing. What we used to be good at or what we're currently good at, hey, listen, when the environment says that's no longer needed, then guess what? We don't want to argue with reality. It's time to move on. So it's not how good we are. It's about how good we want to be. And I call that having an inspirational dissatisfaction, meaning we are inspired by how good we are, the progress that we made, the growth we have experienced. But we're not settling and we're not satisfied. We're dissatisfied because we know we can grow more, give more, have more, contribute more. And as a result of that, we continue moving forward. What else can I learn? How can I stack my skills? What can I add to this? How can I become more valuable? So that really ties in to what? Number two. Right. If you want to increase your income, increase the value that you provide to the marketplace. Right. However good you are right now has you at a certain level of value worth a certain amount of compensation. But you can be worth a whole lot more in terms of value transactions by improving your skills, being able to do things better, faster, cheaper. Right. Those are like the three primary things that a lot of people focus on. Right. Or maybe being more diversified. Whatever it is. But if you're focusing on your continued personal progress, which is a part of success factor number four, right? Because success is not about being better than them. It's about being better than I was yesterday, better than how you were yesterday. And we're focused on that. And we have this inspirational dissatisfaction. Hey, we like our progress. We like where we are, but we know there's more. Hey, there's another book I can read. Maybe you're in marketing and you're like, hey, look, how many marketing books are there on Amazon? I haven't read all of them, which means there's a whole lot more that I can learn that I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know. So let me get to reading in more books, right? Let me get to learning more stuff. Hey, how many marketing strategies have I used? How many sales techniques have I used? How many whatever it is that you do have you done? And then how many more are there that you can test that other people are doing or that you can make up yourself? Let me just sit back and just make up stuff. I know I'm going to make up a lot of stuff that's not going to work, but I may hit on that one thing that becomes amazing. That's absolutely amazing because you're not satisfied to the point where you're willing to settle. You don't feel as if you reached the top of the summit and now it's like, oh, I'm at the apex of life and now I can just relax and hey, hand me my fancy drink. Give me multiple umbrellas. You know, I want an umbrella in the drink and I want an umbrella on my chair. You know, the multiple umbrella deal. Right? Seaside. No. You're not satisfied with that because you know that you're all about growing. You're all about growing. It's like when your seedlings push out of the soil, is reaching for the sun constantly. You can't tell it to stop reaching for the sun. It's just going to keep reaching for the sun and keep reaching and keep reaching and keep reaching because that's what it's engineered to do. And when you have that inspirational dissatisfaction, you're constantly reaching, not just to get, but you know that, hey, the more you're able to grow and to expand and to multiply yourself, and the more you're able to get yourself, the more you can give. Hey, listen, if you want to be a great giver financially to different organizations and you broke, you can't give nothing but your word. And if you broke, your word ain't going to be worth much of nothing, because you can't back your word with any gold. Like the U.S. don't back the dollar with gold. They whack it with their word, right? You want to be able to, hey, I'm bowing and I'm giving you this commitment of X dollars. And you don't say, give me a year to come up with it. You go and cut the check, or you go and you do the bank wire, or you go and you get the bank check, because you've already produced it. Or maybe it's your time, but, oh, you don't have the time of the day because you're working three jobs. Okay, well, we need to increase enough value in one job where we're able to surpass in income and revenue all three jobs combined, so you can have your time freed up where you can go and contribute your time to the things that you want to do, be it more time with your family, more times with certain organizations, more time helping people. You know, maybe it's, you know, the elderly at home. Hey, whatever your deal is, however you see yourself contributing, just remember that regardless of where you are today, honor it, acknowledge it, appreciate it, but know that you can always be better. You can always grow. You can learn more. You can do more. You can be more. And that's not about minimizing and diminishing where you are. It's about being inspired by where you are. Hey, listen, I've learned all this stuff. Think about everything you've learned over your life. You weren't born with that knowledge or those skills. You learned them. And you stacked more and more on top of it. And you can keep on stacking more and more on top of it. And speaking of stacking, when we come back from the break, I'm going to stack success factor number 6 and success factor number 7 on top of the 5 that you already have. So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to be right back. So you stay tuned. See you in a minute or two.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Want to improve your health, business, and life just by listening to a radio show? Well, we can at least move you in the right direction. Listen for Spotlight, the Allison H. Larson Show. Each week, Allison will speak with amazing guests and find out what's changed their lives and how they are changing the lives of others. From beauty to health to business and personal relationships, we're here to inspire you to live your life of passion. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Are you ready for provocative discussions with some of today's most powerful movers and shakers? Tune in to The Art of Significance, featuring Dan Clark, the modern-day Napoleon Hill, who interviews the wealthiest, most successful celebrities and business leaders on the planet, who are using their influence to change the world. From authors to entertainers, sports figures, educators, to military leaders, Dan covers multiple topics. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Welcome back. All right, so we covered five of the 7 success factors. Quick recap. The first one is success is not about having less stress. It's about having more peace. If you're just joining us, be sure to go back and listen to the details concerning that. The solution is meditation, right? Number 2 was success is not about having less bills. It's about having more money. It's about becoming more valuable to increase our income. Right. Number 3 is success is not about doing less ourselves. It's about giving more of ourselves. It's about making that commitment to something that is bigger than us, something that does not want us to relax and want us to go kick back and throw our heels up on the beach and retire early. But because we know that we're here for something greater than sipping on fancy drinks on the beach. And that commitment draws us out of that slumber and that sleep and that relaxation. We can't sit still. We get up early, we stay up late because of what we're committed to, and we're giving more of ourselves. We're not trying to see how we can just get by with less and less and less. And number four was success is not about being better than them. It's about being better than you were yesterday. Continued personal progress, not comparing yourselves to other people, right? That is a trap. That is a trap that you will not be able to win by constantly comparing yourself to other people. Number five was success is not about how good you are. It's about how good you want to be, right? It's about that inspirational dissatisfaction. You're inspired by what it is you've been able to accomplish. You're inspired by what it is you've been able to learn, to achieve, and to progress, and to experience. But because you know there's so much more that you can create and that you can contribute to, you're inspired by what it is you're done, but you're dissatisfied because you know you haven't given enough. You haven't given to the level you want to give or given to the people you want to give to. You haven't been able to create what it is you know you want to create. And that inspirational dissatisfaction keeps you going forward every single day. So what is number six? Number six is success is not about how bad you want it. It's about your refusal to live without it. See, there's a difference. There's those that want to succeed and there's those that must succeed. And you can tell the difference. Those that want to succeed talk about what they want all day long. Those that must succeed don't have time to talk about it. They're out there doing it. They're out there hustling. They're out there learning. They're out there making mistakes. They're too determined to succeed to be caught up in the fear of error. They're too determined to experience that growth, to be shunned by what's going to happen if it doesn't work. Right? They don't get caught up in that. They embrace the idea ahead of time. I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get bruised. I'm going to take losses. It's going to cost me. But I'm willing to pay the cost because I know what it is I'm building. I know what it is I'm creating. See, those are the people that refuse to live without it. They don't have time for mindless television and reckless gossip. They don't have time for foolishness because they know that, hey, they got this one life, right? And it's up to them to decide what they're going to do with it because your life is like clay in your hands. You are the sculptor of your life. What do you want to make of it? You can sit there and have a mud pie, just a clump of clay, or you can turn it into a masterpiece. It's all in your hands and all in your mind. See, those that want to succeed, they're a dime a dozen. They're all over the place. Hey, they want this, they want that, but they don't got it because they ain't going for it. Because it hasn't reached the level of making success a must. When it's a must, you're going to read what it is you need to read. You're going to learn what it is you need to learn. You're going to study what it is you need to study. You're going to test what it is you need to test. You're going to do what it is you need to do. You're going to fail because you have to. You're going to hurt because it's part of the process. You're going to press because it's part of the process because you must succeed. Every athlete that's gone into the NFL this season had to go through camp, and it hurts to go through camp. It hurts. Talk to them. Everybody that is labeled as a Navy SEAL, not the fake SEALs, the real SEALs, it hurt to go through Buzz. It hurt to go through Hell Week. That's why like 80% or so of the class drops out because it's painful. There's a lot that want to be Navy SEALs, but a few that must become Navy SEALs. See, there's a huge group of people that want things. They want a lifestyle, but it has not become a must for them to have it, right? Because you're studying it day and night. You're hunting down what needs to be hunted. Nobody has to come and motivate you. Nobody has to come and inspire you. Nobody has to come and talk you down from your suicide thoughts. Nobody has to come and encourage you in your moments of discouragement because you'll have them. But the only thing that you need to be reminded of, it's what you must have. It's what you must experience. And it may not just be for you, but it's for your family. It's for your wife, for your kids, for your siblings, for your mom, for your dad, for your grandma, your grandpa. The legacy for your grandkids. Like the scripture said, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. You're thinking about the kids that aren't even born yet. And it's like, no, it's up to me. You make it a must for yourself. It's a must. You refuse to live without it. You refuse to live without it. So success is not about how bad you want it. Because a lot of people want it bad. Oh, hey, listen, do you not think people want more money real bad? Man, they want money real bad. Do you think it's a must? No. Because when you must have something, you go for it. Now, by the way, that cuts both ways. When people must have something, they'll get it illegally. That's how bad they want it. That's how much of a must it is. They must have that money, so they'll go and rob the bank. And that's not the right way to do it. That's not the right way to do it. They got the right grit, but they got the wrong plan and idea. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Their commitment to making it a must, I get that. But the path that they choose is a reckless one. It's a harmful one. That's not the path to take. So ask yourself, what is it in your life that you've been claiming you want really bad that you're not pursuing? If you're not pursuing it, it's because that's all you do. You just want it. It will be nice to have. It would be nice to have more money. It would be nice to have whatever it is. It'd be nice to be, you know, be 100 pounds lighter, 50 pounds lighter. It'd be nice to squat 300 plus, or it would be nice to have whatever that is. It would be nice to have. But when it's a must to have it, you're close. You're pursuing it. Every single day you get up and you're running down your must. You're running down your must. You're not sitting there in the clouds looking at your vision board of what you want. Oh, I want to have this. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with wanting certain things, because that's where it begins. But that's where it ends for most people as well, is what they want. But because they haven't reached a point where they refuse to live without it, they don't pursue it with all relentlessness. They'll do it if. They'll do it if it's easy. They'll do it if it's convenient. They'll do it if it's affordable. They'll do it if other people do it with them. They'll do it if people encourage them. They'll do it if nobody laughs and no one snickers and no one sneers. They'll do it if. When you refuse to live without it, there is no if. You're doing it because. And it's because you refuse to live without it. That's why you're doing it. And success factor number 7 of the 7 success factors is, success is not about things getting better. It's about you getting better than getting out of your own way. I call it improve and move. See, we're sitting in the back waiting for the economy to get better, the wife to get better, the husband to get better, the kids to get better, the president to get better, the boss to get better, the markets to get better, everything to get better. But no matter how many external things get better, if you not better, it's going to all be for the worst. Because it has nothing to do with all that stuff. I get it. It all that stuff we interact with. But people succeed regardless of bad relationships, bad past, bad spouses, and all kinds of stuff. Bad economies, down economies, up economies. Hey, listen, people succeed in all kinds of environments. What's the difference? They improve and move. Hey, listen, the stock market goes up, people make a fortune. The stock market goes up, people lose a fortune. Like, how do you do that? The stock market goes down, people are losing money. The stock market goes down and people are raking in bazillions. Because it's not the direction, it's the position you pick relative to the direction. Right? It's raining. Oh, it's gloomy outside. Hey, listen, who says the rain is bad? Somebody told you the rain is bad. Ask the animals. Ask the forest. Ask the vegetables. And ask the farmers. Is the rain bad? No, of course, too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. You know, that's called flooding. But in your normal weather conditions, that's what we're talking about here. The rain's not bad. The rain's all right. Right? Everything has its place. Everything has its role. So we need to stop focusing on all these external things, putting our life and our success and our progress on pause, waiting for something or someone or someplace to get better, because that's not it. What happens if it never changes? Those things. What if those things you're waiting on to get better never get better? Then what? Which, by the way, you have given control of your life over to something, someone, or someplace else. Right now, you are the effect and not the cause, right? You're waiting for some change to cause your life to get better. Hey, man, you know, once the economy gets better, hey, you're going to do this. You know, once there's a new president in office, we're going to do this. Hey, once there's a new mayor, we're going to do this. Or, hey, once I get a new person in my life, I'm going to do this. Hey, nah, man. Hey, listen, if you're horrible now, you're just going to be horrible more until you improve and move. Right. We always think a different environment, a new relationship and all this other kind of stuff is going to make it better. Now, don't get me wrong. There are relationships in our environments that are not necessarily healthy, but there's a role that we play. And I think what happens is when we start to just always look externally, waiting for things on the external to improve, we miss the fact that there's some improving that we need to do, because we make a deposit and a contribution to every environment and relationship we are a part of. So if the outcome and the result of that environment and that relationship is not something you don't like, you have to look at what contribution did you make to it. It's always easy to point the finger and look at someone else and be, look at what they did, look at what they said, look at where they're going and look at how they're doing and all this other kind of stuff. That's the easiest thing to do, because no one wants to be at quote unquote fault. But it's not about fault and it's not about blame. It's about accountability and responsibility for your life and what you bring to people and environments. And if you take that seriously and you start to combine that with number four, which is success is not about being better than them, is about being better than you were yesterday. And number five, which success is not about how good you are, it's about how good you want to be. And you combine that with the fact that it's not about things getting better, it's about you getting better and getting out of your own way. Life becomes a totally different place for you to live. Everything starts to change because you're not living your life as a victim. You're not living your life at the effect. You're not looking for someone else to rescue you. You're not looking for the new job to rescue you, the new president to rescue you, the new relationship to rescue you, singleness to rescue you. Because look, the only person that can rescue you for you and your personality is you. And here's the thing, before we close out, most people don't even know that they have a personality that very few people can survive. They don't even take that into consideration. How many times have you ever asked yourself, can this person survive my personality? Nah, we're so selfish and self-centered and self-serving. We never really take into consideration, for the most part, the impact and the influence, both positive and negative, that we have on other people. And there are some that do, but they're delusional and thinking that they're doing everything right. Hey, listen, if there's a breakdown in an environment that I'm in, I know there's a part of responsibility that I have to take. There's a certain level of ownership I have to have because I'm in that environment, period. Doesn't matter what someone else did. I'm in that environment contributing or not contributing something. It could have been something I contributed or something that I did not contribute that led way to that. So what do? We look to get better and get out of our own way. And maybe we'll come back with Dr. Dentley and do a whole show about getting better and getting out of your own way. So as we wrap up today's show, I hope that you have been inspired, because that's what we look to do here on Be Inspired, right? Hey, listen, coming up in October, we're going to have the Limitless Conference. It's Limitless for women. For those of you women out there, hey guys, you're welcome too. But this is a women's event. I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal event. And for those of you that are interested, you can go over to limitlessforwomen.com. That's limitlessforwomen.com and grab some details on the event. It's going to be pretty phenomenal. We invite you out. You can come in from anywhere and enjoy it, and we may actually be streaming it. I'm not really sure. Hope you enjoyed today's show with today's seven success factors. We're going to come back, and we're going to cover the seven barriers of success and the five keys to success as long as the Most High spares my life. And may the Most High and His Son, Yahweh Shai, bless you and yours. And until next time, go out there, do your deal, and be inspired.
Thank you for listening to Be Inspired. Be sure to join James Dentley and Stephen Pierce for another inspiring show next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Until we talk again, be inspired to live your best life ever.